You just think we just, you know, whatever happens, we just shit another player. All right, and everything's going to be perfect. All of our fans think that. You all think that. That's what you write about.
You don't want to be here. There's a specific reason. Not really. You know, I think we did a poor job recruiting. If guys are coming in and immediately walking out the door because it was something different than what they thought it would be. We lied to them during recruiting, or we sold them on a dream that wasn't true.
Yeah, you know, right now we have the atmosphere of a JC softball game. You know, I mean, that's what we are, a JC softball team. As long as, you know, it's not whether you win or lose. It's like the team that wins is the one that has the most fun. You know, that crap like that. You know, all this stuff that's contaminated America, where they give every kid a trophy and they don't keep score in Little League anymore.
Now, that's also a second in the West, baby.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I don't like it. It's the only time we're ever getting excited about second. From now on, it's first, okay?
Winning the SEC probably is harder than winning the national championship. Do you know that?
Well, how about the fucking dogs? That's my language.
Turn that damn jukebox on!
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the Pirate, and the Pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.
Welcome in to the latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, live on his anniversary vacation. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
This one's for you, Shane. One more year of being married. I'm proud of you, man. You pulled the trigger, unlike myself and unlike your brother Jonathan. You're the only one that can keep a marriage together.
I'm pretty sure a lot of people lost bets that day, Mike. You know, just she's put up with me for 13 years, Mike, and wow. It has been great. We are in the middle of the anniversary, but just like the house, I said, get the hell out of here. I got a podcast to do. Just kidding. I didn't say that. I love you, baby. So, but anyway, drinking some cold beers, having a blast down here in Florida, man. Down here at Cape Canaveral, first time I've ever been to this place. Pretty cool little spot. We went further south. We were at West Palm for a little bit. We're just kind of hitting the coast up the way, and right now we're up here at the Cape, so having a great time. And we had some mailbag questions, so I thought I'd jump on, see how everybody's handling it. I have no idea what's going on. The universities could be falling apart. I have no clue. Been totally away from Twitter. So, Mike, you're going to have to fill me in on this show.
Well, hey, you picked a good time because it's pretty slow, but like you said, you know, we wanted to get these mailbags out the way. But the only other thing I got for this show, we got some point spreads, baby, from Ooh. FanDuel. They've released their games of the year in the SEC. Well, they've released them for the entire nation, but of course, we don't give a damn about the rest of them. So before we get to the mailbag questions, just wanted to go over some of these lines for the biggest games in the SEC. So you ready to tackle some of these point spreads?
Let's do it.
I don't think you should be doing too much gambling tonight, Alan.
Gambling? Who said anything about gambling? It's not gambling when you know you're going to win.
All right, and once again, these come courtesy of FanDuel. So a lot of people in the SEC can now run to their FanDuel app and bet on these games. It's a pretty exciting time that we can actually do that. But first game on the docket here, Shane, week two, game that we've been eyeing for a long time here, Texas at Arkansas. The Longhorns favored on the road by 4 points. Mm. What do you think of that one?
Excuse me. Let me log in my account real quick. Horns down, baby. I'm kind of surprised that this spread is this close, because, you know, ESPN loves – oh, wait, who came out with this one?
Is it FanDuel? FanDuel.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, you know how Vegas is. They love Texas, and kind of surprised me at this close, but this is one of those I think could easily flip by the time we get to this game. So I love this bet, Mike.
Yeah, me too. So, I mean, I've been saying it. I think Arkansas is going to win that game outright. It's going to be the biggest game they've had in years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
Just the fact that it's in Fayetteville is just icing on the cake, and I'm kind of right there with you. I thought Texas would be an even bigger favorite just because I see a lot of disrespect coming the Razorbacks' way. And I said this on the last podcast, Shane, but the guy that runs the Athletic, the college football site,
yeah,
he said, this Arkansas is not even a big Texas game I'm looking forward to. It's week one against Louisiana. So it's like, oh, the disrespect is very real. And I think Texas is going to be in damn trouble when they roll into Fayetteville.
Man, they're already getting the Matthew McConaughey cam out, aren't they? We're going to see him on the sideline, pissed off again. I can't wait, man. It's going to be like LSU 2.0. So I'm all for it, baby.
All right, how about this one, Shane? The following week, week three, Alabama on the road at Florida. Alabama favored by 15 points.
Damn.
On the road. Thoughts on that one?
Man, no respect at all. I could see a two-score game, maybe, but now we're talking about two-point conversions. I don't know. That's especially this early in the season. I don't like that. I think that this should be a little bit closer. Wouldn't surprise me if it is.
Yeah, and don't forget, I mean, Florida is basically the only one that gave Alabama a game last season. I guess you could say Ole Miss did as well, but you know, that Florida Alabama game was a one-score game in the SEC championship, and I think everybody's looking at this as, you know, Florida's losing so much, but at the same time, so is Alabama. And I know Alabama's been able, you know, they've proven they can just reload. I don't want to say Florida's proven that, but I mean, they've basically done that since Dan Mullen's been down there.
Yep.
Let's not forget how good of a coach Dan Mullen is. And I'm sure you missed this news, Shane, but Florida has announced this week that the Swamp back to 100% capacity. Ooh. This is going to be the first game, true road game, for the Alabama's new quarterback, Bryce Young, on the road. You're telling me going into the Swamp, favored by 15? Hell no. That's another one. I love the Gators plus 15. I'm not saying they're going to pull the outright upset or anything, but you're going to give me 15 points at home against not a freshman quarterback, but a sophomore here. I'm going to take that every time.
Oh, buddy. And I got to mention, I don't even watch baseball, but I've been getting kind of into it because when you're good, you get on board. You know what I'm saying? And it was so nice seeing some of these stadiums at full capacity. You know what I'm saying? It's just, we forget. We forget. I'm watching a movie. I'm watching freaking Moneyball earlier with Brad Pitt, and I'm not to get off a tangent here, but yeah, there was a highlight in there when they won their 20th game in a row or something like that, and I pulled up the video, the actual YouTube video of the home run, and it was just like goosebumps. I don't know anything. I couldn't name three players on either one of those teams, but just the emotion and all that, just that love for their ball club. You know, you could feel it. I cannot wait for these sold-out stadiums because they will be, buddy. And you're going to forget. You took it for granted for so many years. And coming off this COVID season, I just, man, I'm excited. I'm just so excited for a full stadium.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and yeah, I don't want to overlook this, but I mentioned Florida. South Carolina has also come out and said the same, 100% capacity. So it's going to be 100% across the board. They're just doing it one at a time here, but I'm right there with you, man. I love this news.
Man, they're already cranking the sandstorm as we speak, man. They're putting more speakers in there.
All right, how about this line, Shane? The next week, this one is close to your heart. Interested to hear your thoughts. Florida on the road at Tennessee. The Gators favored by 15.5 points.
Damn, I thought it'd be a pick 'em, Mike. similar to the Alabama. I think it's way too early to get into three score territory, but that's exactly where they have the Gators. And I'm just not a fan. I'm not a fan of these three score games. I'm going to go with the Volunteers right now.
Hey, well, it seems like we're right on the money, which could be dangerous. Maybe the fade SEC Mike at Big Orange Vols may be strong again, because Hey, I'm right there with you, and I'll tell you why, Shane. Tennessee, we'll get to a couple more of theirs. They're big underdogs in every game they're playing, basically against marquee opponents. But now there's a little caveat here, I will say that. But, man, I think Tennessee is going to be able to score some points next season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are used to the Garantano era where, you know, it's hard to put up 20 points in a ball game.
Right.
It's going to be completely different under Josh Heupel. Now, they may give up 40, but they're going to score 35-40 a game as well. So you're going to give me 15.5 points at home against an SEC opponent. I'm taking the Vols. Now, I did say there's a caveat there, and that's assuming that they have a quarterback that's capable of running their system. And, hell, it seems like every other week they're adding one. So by the time the season rolls around, they're going to have themselves a quarterback. I got faith in Josh Heupel to produce a quarterback. But if they can do that, man, I'm loving these points.
That's the key, Mike. You have the ability to score now. And you may want to edit this out, but they may call them the backdoor volunteers. Because, you know, they may be trailing by 30 points, but it would not surprise me if this is one of those teams that just kind of backdoors that spread, you know? So I'm looking forward to scoring points, man.
All right, the following week, Auburn at LSU. LSU, a 4-point favorite over the Auburn Tigers. That feels about right, doesn't it?
Feels about right, as long as, you know, they stay out of the transfer portal there. So I think that's a good little sweet spot for them. And but definitely one of those spreads that I can see moving around a lot closer to. When is this one scheduled again?
Week 5. I'm not looking at the dates here, but that'll probably be like October 1.
Yeah, this is one of those just keep your eye on. It's going to reward those that bet early because this spread, I think, changes quite a bit by week 5.
Mm-hmm. Now, the following week, here's two really good matchups. Shane, Georgia at Auburn, Bulldogs favored by 10.5. That's a pretty big margin. But then here's the marquee game. Here's one where may decide the SEC West. Not saying it will, but it may. Alabama at Texas A&M, the Crimson Tide, favored by 13. Jimbo says they're going to whoop his ass. Oh, my God. So, thoughts on that? Alabama favored by 13 at Texas A&M, and Georgia favored by 10.5 at Auburn. These, when you're getting on the road here in the SEC, you're getting tricky if you're with these large point spreads, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely, man. And this is when you're gambling. This is when you've got that gut feeling that your team's going to be good. You put money on games like this. If you think Texas A&M, this is their year, put some money on them. If you think that, you know what I'm saying? If you think that this is a year at Auburn bounces back, put some money. If you think Georgia is just going to steamroll their way to the national championship, put some money on it. Because when you get into weeks 3, 4, and 5, Vegas figures this shit out real quick. And that spread becomes a lot tougher to guess. Right now is when everyone is guessing what they have. So if you've got that gut feeling that this is your year, this is when you bet on your team. You know what I'm saying? This is when you're looking at your ball club and you put your emotions a little to the side, but not too far. And you pick your ball club and you put your $100 on them to win an Addy or something. This is when you're doing it, because as the games get further in, Vegas figures it out real quick.
Now, how about this game, Shane? The one that's been deciding the SEC East for a number of years here. Georgia versus Florida in Jacksonville. The Bulldogs favored by 8 points against Florida. That more than a touchdown. Thoughts on that?
Man, just tells you how good they feel about Bama right now. this is a touchdown game. So, you know, again, just like I just said, if you think this is Georgia's year, like legit year, then you better put some money on them dogs right now, because it won't be an 8-point game by the time we make it to the world's largest outdoor cocktail party.
Well, speaking of Alabama, the following week, again, this may be the game that decides the West. LSU at Alabama. Alabama favored by 24 points. Now, at this point, Alabama may be a machine, but, man, I really like LSU this year. So that's – hell, last time they went to Bryant-Denny, they won. So, of course, they had Joe Burrow and about 20 NFL players. But, hell, they still did it. So, I don't know. I'm favoring the points on this one, too.
Yeah, you may put a star by this pod because as far as all the bets I've heard today, that's the sexiest one. 24 points. That is a tall. I mean, even if you know what LSU has, I don't know. I think they figured out the quarterback play. I think their defense is strong. I think they give Alabama. I think it becomes a ball game. So, yeah, I'm liking this bet.
All right, last one I got for you, Shane, and this is just a sneaky one that I want. You're saying put a star on it. That's exactly what I wanted to do with this one. This is not necessarily a rivalry or anything like that, but week 11, Florida on the road at Missouri, the Gators favored by 9.5. And I'll tell you why I'm putting a star next to this one, Shane. We all know Missouri football's on the rise. And Florida, when they go all the way up to Missouri, especially late in the season, that's been a troublesome spot from time to time. But, you know, you can't put too much into what's happened in the history, or at least the long time history, you know, year to year. But why I really like this game, and I've already heard Drinkwitz talk about it this offseason. He's mentioned Dan Mullen and there was the halftime fight, brawl, whatever you want to call it. And that was also the game where old Dan Mullen came out afterwards and was wearing Darth Vader shit. And Eli Drinkwitz has mentioned that at least once during the offseason. So I think, that's kind of his sneaky way of just saying, we have not forgotten the disrespect and the hostility that the Gators showed us. And maybe it fades by week 11 of the upcoming season, but I don't know. I think, again, I'm not sitting here saying Florida's going to lose this game, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than 9.5. What are your thoughts on all that?
Well, it sounds like that's exactly what you're saying, Mike. What do they have? This is way out there. What do they have week in front of them? I'm just curious if this is one of those. That's another factor. Is Florida coming off a tough game, or is Mizzou coming off an easy game? I'm just curious.
Okay, well, Florida's coming off Samford. not Stanford, but Samford. And then Missouri will be coming off South Carolina at home.
And you know that game's always going to be tough and physical. So,
right.
I don't know, man. I kind of like them points right now.
Okay. I like that we're disagreeing on one. That means I'm going to be right.
You're probably right, man.
All right, hey, well, we spieled on long enough. You know, we're going to have so many lines to talk about in the weeks and months to come before the season gets here. But I just love that they throw these out in the middle of spring because there's nothing else going on, so it gives us something to spiel about. But we got some questions to get to, man. Let's hop on down to that mailbag. How about it?
Let's do it.
Listen up, it's time for mail call.
Don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
My turn, what do you got?
Okay, here we go. What color is a fire truck?
Oh, God, I always get these. All right, fire truck. Fire truck. What
are
those red fire trucks?
All right, first one, Shane. Really appreciate Blake reaching out, giving us another question about LSU and their outstanding defensive backs. And we all know Derek Stingley, All-American, Elias Ricks, freshman All-American, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, it's tough to beat that duo. And that's kind of what Blake, his kind of question was centered on. So let's kick it over to Blake.
Hey, Shane and Mike. I know this is my second time, but it's Blake, your biggest LSU fan. I was just kind of keying in and noticing one particular position unit for LSU that's really strong, and that's the cornerback position. When you look at Derek Stingley and Eli Ricks, who have 10 combined interceptions in 3 combined total seasons, I feel that far and away, LSU has the biggest advantage at that particular position unit going into 2021, and maybe even their best combination it could play out to be all time. I wanted to kind of get your takes on if you agree with that or if there's any other SEC cornerback units that stack up or draw a comparison. Thank you always.
All right, Shane. So anytime we get an in-depth roster question, I think that's a question directed my way.
Shane,
so
Shane grabs another beer.
And, you know, I really do appreciate this question once again, but, man, sometimes you can get the sense that the callers, you know, they know it's almost like they're bragging about their team. And I'm not saying that's what's
right.
going
they
on
know
here.
They got
but
something good.
Exactly. And that's what they're working with down there. They don't call it DBU for nothing down there in Baton Rouge. I agree. Derek Stingley, Elias Ricks, hell, they both are going to be in contention for all SEC, potentially all American this season. So, without a doubt, I'd put them number one in the SEC this season. But in the West, man, we've got a couple of duos here that I really like. And one that's probably off the radar of most people outside of Starkville. Head on down to Mississippi State with Martin Emerson and Emmanuel Forbes. Those mm-hmm. two guys were all over the field. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Emerson led the SEC in interceptions last season. And Forbes was a really terrific first-year player for Mississippi State. So I'd probably put them number two. And then I really like Auburn's duo, Roger McCreary and Jalen Simpson. Auburn's been adding safeties. Hell, they just added another one. they added a FCS All-American, and then they they were looking for help at safety, but that's because not at corner, because they got that position locked down on the plains with Roger McCreary and Jalen Simpson. They're probably my number three. And then last but not least, Florida. I really like Kyrie Elam. He's a really good player. And they just signed five-star true freshman Jason Marshall. And you just never know when you sign one of these guys. I mean, I'm sure the expectation is he's going to be great for the Gators. But until we see it on the college football field, you know, there's always a little skepticism there. So that's the only reason I'm putting Florida last on this list, just because we don't know quite what Marshall's got, but I believe he was the nation's number one corner, so he's probably the next guy we're talking about. You know what?
Well, I mean, I appreciate the question. Is there any sneaky core that you could see making its way in this group? Maybe somebody that's young, hasn't proved it yet, but you know, maybe highly touted, highly recruited. Is there a group that you're looking at that could make their way in the top five?
Yeah, it'd probably be Texas A&M. And Jimbo and Mike Elko, they keep singing the praises of their secondary. They got, particularly that Alabama game, they got toasted pretty bad. But, you know, as we come to find out against Alabama, they toasted everybody last mm-hmm. year. So maybe that's just left a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth, because for the, you know, the vast majority of the season, Texas A&M's duo was very good. And, you know, that's looking like a strength. So there's probably people in College Station listening right now saying, where the hell's our guys? Mm-hmm. They probably belong in that conversation as well. And I think by the end of the season, with all they got coming back at Texas A&M, that's probably one we're looking back at it as potentially, you know, maybe challengers to the best in the SEC.
Okay, I like it.
All right, hey, we got another question here, Shane, wanting to know about Ole Miss. All the Rebels are flying high, the Lane train, everybody's on board. So let's kick it over to this one.
What's up, guys? This is Dallas from Oxford, Mississippi. I just left another message, but ignore that one and answer this one. Oh, I was just going to see what y'all thought the realistic expectations were for Ole Miss this year. There's a lot of buzz around town here that the defense could take a huge step forward this year. And I'm just thinking that, you know, if we have a middle-of-the-pack defense and our offense is somewhat the same as it was last year, that we have a real shot at 9-3, 10-2. Especially with having Matt Corral back, and I know we lost some receivers, but I have faith that we'll pick some of them up in the transfer portal. And yeah, if you would just tell me what y'all think about it, and I enjoy listening to your show. So thanks.
All right, Chance. So what do you think about it here? Ole Miss, can the defense improve to the point that the Rebels are going to contend for the SEC title? And I thought it'd be interesting here. I'm going to run down the schedule, if that's all right with you, Shane.
Yeah. Hey, actually, I'm glad you're going to do that, because I want to, you know, I'm a couple beers in, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I'm just going to say, let's pretend that this does play out, that Ole Miss defense is a lot better, and that the offense doesn't take a step back, even though they've lost a couple of key pieces. Let's just pretend for a second. So we're going to go – I want to go through the schedule and go best-case scenario. Do I see them coming away with a victory? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you say 10-2, those are lofty goals. That is that sounds like Cousin Shane talking about his volunteer. So let's see if 10-2 is a possibility here. All right, what do you got?
All right, opening weekend. They're playing Louisville in Atlanta, so neutral site.
Oh, victory. Yeah. We're going best case scenario. We're going that the defense is better, offense stayed the same. All right, victory. 1-0.
Week 2, Austin Peay at home.
Oh, 2-0, man. Momentum's picking up.
Week 3, Tulane at home.
Oh, Greenway ain't got a shot here. 3-0. All right, man. Look, the Lane train's picking up steam.
Yeah, now they get a bye, which is critical because the next game at Alabama. But hell, at least they got 2 weeks to prepare for them.
They do got 2 weeks to prepare, and I am a glass half full kind of guy, but let's just say 3-1. Still good. I still think they dropped this one. Last year, they did go toe-to-toe with the Tide, but I don't know. I think old Saban's a little bit more prepared this go-around with the tape that's out from Ole Miss. So let's go 3-1.
All right, next week, Shane, Arkansas at home.
Ooh, again, we're going best-case scenario here. So there's not going to be a lame duck game. We're getting the best of Matt every single week. So I'm going with another victory here, 4-1. So Arkansas fans, don't get mad. We're not talking that your team sucks. We're just talking that Ole Miss is playing the best ball that they could play. So I'm going 4-1. What do you say? Can they do it? Can they pull this victory out?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I certainly think they can beat Arkansas. I'm not saying that they will, but you kind of nailed it right there. I mean, hell, he threw 6 interceptions last season. And,
exactly.
And it was a 12-point game. So
half. If he throws 3 less interceptions, they win the game. Think about that for a second. Okay, 4-1.
All right, now we're going to really get the truth out of Cousin Shane at Tennessee.
Ooh,
Lane Train making his return.
Yeah. They may score 300 points in this game, but it's going to be 5-1 Ole Miss after this. Ooh. And a lot of beer. A lot more beer than I'm drinking now, Mike.
Okay, how about
that? It'll be fun, man. All right.
LSU at home.
Home helps. We need a perfect game here. I could see. Golly. All right, Mike. I'm going 4. Or where are we at? I've already lost count. 5-1-1. Mm-hmm. Let's do a draw here. This one's going to be. Ole Miss is going to have to play some serious football here, and they cannot afford to make mistakes. That defense is legit. If the defense does step up and is able to keep Mr. Johnson on his toes, I think maybe it could happen, but
I'm giving this one to LSU.
I mean, the more I talk about it, yeah. All right, I'm going to have to go back to LSU. I'm sorry. Nah. Okay.
Hell, yeah. 5-2 is a hell of a record here.
No, I'm going to say draw. I'm going to say if they play a great game, this may come down to last possession, so not going to do it.
All right, how about this? The following week, trap game here at Auburn.
No, I think perfect game. Long as they don't screw up, this is a victory.
Okay. Here, this may be the true trap game here. Liberty at home. Now, before you laugh off Liberty, of course, Hugh Freeze is a head coach. This is going to be the game he's going to want more than any other on the schedule. And I'm not buying the hype, but Liberty quarterback Malik Willis, they're saying he may be a first-round NFL draft pick in the next draft. Of course, they usually say that about 10 quarterbacks during the – hell, I remember Jamie Newman was getting that, and he just went undrafted. So, like I said, I ain't buying that hype, but he is a good college player. So, thoughts on that one, Shane? Ole Miss at home against Liberty.
I don't – what an ironic – break, you know, we're talking about relationships, huge free games. I know it could be a sneaky game, but we're going best case scenario Ole Miss here, so I'm gonna go easy victory here.
Okay, how about this one at home, Texas A&M.
Oh man. This is the two loss right here. So I don't quite see 10-2 here, but I'm saying 9-2-1. Mm-hmm. I don't think they have enough depth, even if they play a great game, to go toe-to-toe with Texas A&M this year.
Okay, and then Vanderbilt at home, that's an easy win, right?
Oh, yeah, easy win.
And then final game. Now, this is tricky. I know you're saying best case here, but you throw the records out, as they say, in these rivalries at Mississippi State on Thanksgiving. I'll never go in an egg bowl saying a team's guaranteed to win. What are your thoughts on that?
Not guaranteed to win, but this is a 50-50 game. Like, if somebody gave – I don't know if a point spread's even out on this thing, but if it's not a pick 'em, I can't, I'm going to bet the opposite way. But we're going perfect game, and in a perfect game, Ole Miss doesn't lose to in the Egg Bowl. So, final answer, only two losses for Ole Miss this year, guaranteed, is A&M, Alabama right now. And LSU is a tricky one, but that's where I'm at. So, I mean, you could break up this clip any way you want and take the last 10 seconds and say, wait, Shane's lost his damn mind. Again, I'm talking about Ole Miss playing perfect football on both sides of the ball and the defense improving and the offense not losing a step. Honestly, as long as Matt gets better at quarterback, more efficient, which I fully expect him to do.
Mm-hmm.
This year, it would not surprise me if we're looking back and say, damn, you know, Lane Kiffin is the ultimate hire, and some of these bigger universities across the country don't think they ain't going to come for him, because I think that's where we're Ole Miss will be. But there is some factors. We gotta have some improvement on the defensive side of the ball. You know, we don't need them to win games, we just need them to keep them in games, you know.
All right, hey, final one here. Let's get Shane off the line before he gets in trouble here.
Thank you.
We got a Florida question. Can they upset Alabama? Let's hit on over to the mailbag.
Hey, guys, this is Jesse up in North Dakota, Gators fan, calling in because I want to know what you guys think. I am going to the Gators-Alabama game, and I want to know what you guys think would realistically need to happen for them to win, and what maybe would be the chances of that. Go Gators.
All right, Shane, so what's it gonna take for Florida to upset Alabama? I've already got five keys to the game here I want to run down.
Well, I think the key here is, for starters, it's early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm looking at that point spread. We've already kind of talked a little bit about this game. I think Florida has an opportunity to win a game like Alabama, mainly because of the coaching. I think, you know, Dan's going to put his team in the best situation. Not that Nick Saban won't, but, you know, I think he's going to make it just as competitive and like he has in years past.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the trend here is hold on to the ball, you know, make this a final possession type game. Don't let the quarterback get comfortable back there. You know, you're going to have a new quarterback in that system. Play your ball. You've got really good running backs. You just control the tempo the best you can. I think that's what, if it's a close game going into that fourth corner, you know, that's how I like this game being played out. You can't play Florida from years past. You can't play Bama from year past. Every year is a different year. These are two different teams this season, and just play to what you're good at. So I think that's what's got to happen here.
Yeah, and I kind of already hit.
Just expand a little bit more on that. A lot of time it feels like Nick Saban doesn't win games. He waits till you lose them. Mm-hmm. So we can't go back and say, damn, what was Dan thinking forcing, a stupid fourth down fake punt or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. Yeah, and I think, speaking on that note, let's not forget how good of a coach Dan Mullen is. I think for whatever reasons, I guess just the way Florida ended the last season, some of the luster's off Dan Mullen. He's still one of the top. I'd probably put him, you're talking just game day, X and O, getting his team ready to play. He's probably top five in the country. And maybe, you know, right up there with Nick Saban. Now, he's got his faults in other areas, but play calling, getting the team ready, tough physicality, toughness. He's right up there. So let's not, I know Nick Saban's the greatest, but there's not a massive drop off from Nick Saban to Dan Mullen where he's at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So how does this get done? I hit on it a little bit when they're opening the swamp. I mean, the home field advantage, this has got to be one where they're holding pep rallies the day before.
Yeah.
Maybe make this a big recruiting weekend. You got to have that swamp just packed and ready, and anybody and everybody in the state of Florida that, you know somebody that's an Alabama fan that wants into the swamp, do not sell them that ticket. So it's got to start there. Starts with the fans. Kind of like you said, turnovers are going to be incredibly key to this game. You got Bryce Young on the road in a hostile environment for the first time as a starting quarterback. You got to get to his ass. And that's what Todd Grantham's known for, being aggressive, blitzing, just going all out. And I know that burns you at times, but at other times when you're playing an inexperienced quarterback, could really rattle them. And, you know, to what you're saying there, Alabama usually doesn't beat itself, but that's not always the case. And that's the danger of starting a young quarterback on the road in the SEC. So I think you can force him into mistakes. Emory Jones, you got to give him time. Alabama's going to have some monster pass rushers this season. And whenever you do dial up one of these designed deep shots, holding that the pass rush for an extra second could make the difference between a 60, 70-yard touchdown and a 10-yard sack. And it's just those little attention to detail are going to be key to this game. And final thing I got, I would try to limit Alabama's possessions, you know, limit their offense, run the ball. I think that's what they're going to do with these running backs like Bowman and with Emory Jones running the ball from the quarterback position. And I really do think Florida's capable of doing this. And this may be the big upset of the early season in the SEC. I would not be stunned at all if Florida takes down Alabama in the swamp. And we got more mailbags are coming, so those questions keep racking up, but we've taken up enough of your time here on the anniversary, so I really do appreciate you hopping on the line here and spieling. I think fans are really going to appreciate this one. And you got anything else before you get off here?
No, just don't forget, man, the call-in show, 615-800-LOVE, L-O-V-E.
That's what's going on at Shane's anniversary. He's spreading the love down there. So right. Now you're spreading the love on the show.
I can't remember three phone numbers in my phone book, but I can remember that one somehow. So, yeah, feel free to call in. You will be prompted by an English lady. Don't be – that is us. All right? We just haven't figured out how to – change the voicemail prompt. A lot of people are probably getting there like that ain't them country folks. So, but anyway, man, I appreciate everybody sending the questions over. We got a few we weren't able to get to, but we will, I promise, either later this week or next week, definitely. But just keep sending them, man. It's the off season. That's what we love doing, because once the football season cranks up, we ain't gonna have time, man. We gotta get to that news. So Mike, I appreciate everything you've done and getting all the keeping the shows coming out. I listened to one this morning as I was drinking coffee. So I appreciate all the work you're doing back home.
Absolutely. Well, that's going to do it. Thanks, as always, Shane, for hopping on the line. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Vols. One second. I told the wife 15 minutes and it's been 35, so I need to apologize real quick. I'll be right back. Hey, You want to see year 14, Mike? You be a bigger man. You step up. You apologize to your wives. All right, I'll be right back.